Nearly 500,000 people have now died from COVID-19 in the United States. That's more than the number of U.S. battlefield deaths in World War I, World War II, and the Vietnam War combined.
There is some hopeful news, however. The average daily number of cases in the U.S. has dropped by more than 40% in the last 2 weeks. And the CDC said yesterday that around 43 million people have received at least one dose of a vaccine. Dr. Peter Hotez is dean at Baylor's National School of Tropical Medicine in Houston. Dr. Hotez, welcome. It's good to speak with you again.
Great. Thanks for having me.
And could you reflect on this staggering death toll that is upon us now? 500,000 people. Back in March, did you ever think it would get to this point?
I really didn't. I thought as a nation, we could do a far better job handling this. And it's just so, I'm just filled with such profound sorrow and grief at this absolutely staggering loss of life. And it's not, remember, it's not only just the 500,000 who've lost their lives, but the social and economic impact on their families. And then all of the individuals who now are experiencing long haul COVID. And we're not out of this yet. You know, some projections say we're going to get up to 600,000 and 650,000 by the end of May and June.
And what do you think of those projections for May and June? Do you think they're realistic? I mean, what's your worst case scenario?
Yeah, well, the good news is the numbers are starting to decline precipitously in terms of new cases, and for reasons that we don't entirely understand. Some say it's due to we're not testing as much as we were. I think there may be a seasonal component to it. Others say that it's we're finally getting it in terms of social distancing and staying apart. So that's the potentially good news, that if it is going down. The bad news is now we've got this terrible variant coming from the United Kingdom, which is more transmissible, and now the UK government has put up information that it's more serious or even deadly. So I'm holding my breath because now it's about 10%, I think even more percent of the isolates in Florida, same in Southern California.
Well, Dr. Anthony Fauci was asked about that variant on CNN this weekend, and here is his response about what it could mean for the weeks and months ahead.
I think you always want to be prepared for that type of thing. I don't think at all that it is inevitable that that will happen. The way you mitigate against that is you do two things. You continue to abide by the public health measures and recommendations of universal wearing of masks, keeping physical distance, avoiding congregate settings, particularly indoors.
Fauci was responding there to a prediction that those variants would cause a devastating spike again in the coronavirus. What do you think? Do you agree? I mean, how much of a threat are those variants to your mind?
Well, it was clearly dealt a devastating blow to the British people. Whether it does the same in the United States, it's anyone's best guess. But I think, you know, as Dr. Fauci says, we've got to be prepared for it. And yes, all of the things he said about social distancing and masks is correct. But for me, the other big piece to this is we've got to accelerate our ability to vaccinate the American people. We need to look at the timetable of fully vaccinating by the fall and say, I'm not sure that's good enough, and try to see if we can do this in a faster time frame.
Well, that's been very hard to do across the country, especially in places across Texas where you are. And Houston, of course, were just crushed by the brutal winter weather last week, and millions of vaccine dose shipments were delayed.
Yeah, no
question.
How is
the catch-up effort going?
No question. There's going to have to be a catch-up effort. We took a pretty big hit. I think there are some things that we can do if we can. We've done a lot better in terms of opening up additional vaccination hubs, not relying exclusively on the pharmacy chains and the hospital chains. And they've done a good job. I just don't think that's adequate to vaccinate at the rate we need to. So opening up some of the large hubs, the sports stadiums, community centers, and also streamlining some of the guidelines. We have to make this easy breezy to vaccinate as many people as possible. We also have to get more vaccines out there. We need that J&J vaccine. We need the Novavax vaccine. We're not going to do this with mRNA vaccines alone. And I understand we're sitting on millions of doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine. This might be the time now to let it out, and let's vaccinate as fast as we can ahead of the variant.
When do you expect we might get that next vaccine approved?
Well, they say the J&J is going to be the first one up in the next week or two. I'm hoping J&J will request emergency use authorization. But then again, you know, one of the disappointments that we're slowly learning about with Operation Warp Speed was, you know, we've been hearing all year, and I've been talking all year about this concept of manufacturing at risk, meaning that as soon as we know a vaccine is going to be released for emergency use authorization, we'll have the doses already produced and ready to distribute. Unfortunately, now we're learning that was more of an aspirational goal, and we're hearing from some that we may not have even 30 million doses of the J&J vaccine until April and 100 million until June. So a number of us are looking at what other levers we can pull and push to get more vaccine out there. And as I said, if it's true, and again, I don't have any inside information that the AstraZeneca vaccine is available. It's already been released by for emergency use by the World Health Organization, by the EMA, the European Regulatory Authority. I think we need to revisit that in the U.S.
Dr. Peter Hotez, Dean of the National School of Tropical Medicine at Baylor College in Houston, thanks as always for your time. Long road ahead, so we appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you.